Hey, welcome back to TWIP for episode 11. I'm Dr. Science.
Hello, I'm Edge.
And I'm Jelly.
And I am Renholder.
And as you heard, we have Edge and his daughter from the infamous post that started a little trend joining us today. So we're going to have some interesting dynamics. Hopefully we're going to be able to get a beginner's perspective, which will be fun. Yep. Some quick announcements, as always. I hope you guys have been enjoying the giveaway thing. The Easter egg hunt has proven to be a lot of work, but you guys seem pretty into it, or some of you do. We're trying to get a little bit sneakier with our posts because you guys keep finding the sneaky ones. But I give us your feedback on that. Tell us if you liked it or didn't. We might do it again. I don't know. We're gonna have to come up with a new system. But we're gonna talk about this week's giveaway near the end. Our first topic on our agenda today, we're getting right into it, is the price of tobacco online versus into the store, or from a store. I'm also going to throw in whether or not you guys are worried about tobacco price increases with all this supposed legislation that's coming. So, Ed, you want to start off?
Sure. So I posted earlier this week about my experience with going into a store here locally in Texas and finding that the nightcap was significantly more expensive. We're talking at least double of what you can get it for online, and that includes shipping. And it wasn't that expensive. It's never been that expensive in my experience. And so I posted about it, trying to find out, you know, why is this? And fortunately, a lot of folks chimed in and reminded me that taxes have gone up quite a bit, and that you know, a lot of the brick and mortars, they tend to have to at least charge a little bit more, but I couldn't understand why this one was charging so much more.
So wait, how much was it for just the 10?
I think they were charging $26.
Whew.
That's ridiculous.
For a 50-gram 10?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah, my B&M actually charges $22 for their 50-gram 10 of Dunhill as well.
Really?
Yeah, and it's because we have estates in Florida, cigars don't have any tax on them, but other smoking products do. And ours is 85%. And there's actually a really cool chart that I found online that tells you exactly what the tobacco tax is for your state. And so we'll probably link to that in the comments, and you guys can get the lowdown on what your state charges.
That's so weird, because it's always expensive, more expensive, like you were saying, because like mine, I think, is like $15 for a 10 nightcap.
That's not so bad.
It's like the 10 or 11 online.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine having to pay $20 more than. That's ridiculous.
Well, what ends up happening for me is it, you know, when you look at the house blends or some of the, what do they call it? The stuff here from the U.S., the...
Domestic.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. For the domestic tobaccos, you know, when they're charging, you know, $6, $7, $8, you know, for an ounce, paying $26 for half an ounce, you know,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So speaking of all this legislation stuff, so for what I'm speaking of right there is apparently cigarette companies have been getting creative with their labeling to try and avoid taxes. The big thing was roll your own tobacco has been like reclassified as pipe tobacco, or they're going to, I think. I'm not sure if they have yet. Is that correct?
It's correct, but it's not this big cigarette. It's not big tobacco that's relabeled them. It's like smaller tobacco outlets. And so big tobacco is actually chasing the roll your owners down.
Yeah, because the fear there, and the cigar community has a similar fear for a different reason, is that like products that will get labeled as cigars or pipe tobacco that really will never be used for that purpose.
Yeah.
And then Washington is going to raise taxes on that as a way of trying to stop it, and we're just going to get screwed.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to in my head imagine how much like a tin would cost, and I am afraid of the day now where I have to pay $25 for a nightcap.
Oh.
That's like 2.5 tens of regular market prices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be bad. Yeah, to be honest, I've thought about stocking up on bulk and just like selling them in case that day ever comes.
Yeah,
but
if that's ever announced that like that bill is in the house, like every single store, like pipes and cigars, is gonna completely run out because everyone's gonna freak out.
Yeah. Well, I almost wonder, like, I've almost convinced myself that I can do it, like, all while not, like, being paranoid, because I could be like, oh, you know, I'm just stocking up on a bunch of Virginia blends to age. And I'll be like, I will age them until tobacco taxes go insane.
You're going to turn into like one of those crazy guys with a bunker, except for the tobacco, and you're like, yeah, I'm waiting for the tax hike. That would be just weird, because I tend to, like, try a lot of new stuff, but I can, like, if that happened, I would, like, probably cut down immensely, just buy, like, one or two, like, you know, the, like, nightcap and, like, one or two things that were good, just because it's, now it's no longer worth it to risk it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would probably cut down by proportion of whatever they increase the tax by.
Yeah.
So, which is sad. How about you, Jelly? You got any opinions on this?
Not much, because I just give my dad the puppy eyes to get me the tobacco I want, and he does it.
Damn it. That's what I...
That's such an unfair advantage. You have no idea.
Yeah, she doesn't know. The whole issue of how much pipe tobacco costs, she has no idea.
Damn.
Good thing it's cheap. You don't really have to learn a value for the money.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. Right now, honestly, I mean... I feel lucky, and I feel like we should appreciate how affordable pipe tobacco is right now, because every time I hear of like the prices that Canadians and Australians have to pay, I like cringe a little bit. I'm like, oh, like in one of those countries, I think it's Australia. It's like $40-something for like a 50 or 100 gram tin. Or it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I would not be a pipe smoker.
Yeah.
At that point, I'd either grow my own tobacco or. Which I don't think you can grow it in Australia because it's, like, what? Ridiculously hot.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm sure they have some kind of variety that'll grow there.
Yeah. I'm really sad I missed out on the whole ask your parents to buy you pipe tobacco thing.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky when I started smoking a pipe. I was, I think I was around 19 or 20, and... I was in the Marines. I lived in California, and I called my mom and told her that it wasn't the sole purpose of the call, but just in conversation. Oh, by the way, I started smoking a pipe, and her dad and her uncle and her grandfather, pretty much everybody in our family smoked a pipe. And so to her, she was like, oh, that's really cool. And the next thing I know, she sends me this huge care package out to me full of like six or seven pipes, probably a good pound of different kind of tobaccos. She sent me a pipe rack, I guess, that you could put all the pipes on, a couple of nice little humidors, little jars that even had the little clay inserts on the tops of them. I mean, just really nice stuff.
Wow.
Nice.
Really got me going, which a lot of my friends thought was pretty crazy because they're like, oh my God, your mom's supporting your smoking? But you know, she was in the healthcare industry too. She was a radiologist. So she said that she hadn't in her career, you know, had to deal with many pipe smokers as she did with cigarette smokers. So,
yeah, it's definitely the safer of the two habits, but that's really nice though, that like your parents did something for you and now you're, you know, carrying that on. So
yeah, exactly.
And one day she'll be buying her children pipe tobacco and they'll have no concept of the cost either.
Hopefully it'll still be affordable.
Yeah.
You guys just pissed off every single anti-tobacco group in the country.
Yeah, probably.
we're going to get boycotted here soon. Yeah,
so big national news.
For those of you who didn't figure it out, my girlfriend was the one was posted an Easter egg. She was the one asking for advice for her boyfriend and father. And so she's occasionally giving me tobacco as gifts. And so she came, you know, again, she's like, well, you know, it'd be nice to get you a tin of this something or whatever. I was like, yeah, okay. Well, after that thread, you guys were too damn helpful. Because now she's like asking me, like, where do I find Penzance? And like, like she's like pricing like church wardens from Savinelli and shit. I was like, oh, guys. too helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the guys really got your number. You know, yeah. I saw a few posts that I was just like, hot damn, he would love that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if they figured it out or if they they just didn't know. But yeah, Tomachuk recommended like Penzance and Stonehaven. I was like, those are two of the hardest tobaccos to find.
Well, she was so good about like describing like what you liked and everything that, I mean, I'm not too surprised that like our pipe tobacco was able to dial in on that.
Because, yeah, sure.
I mean, she obviously pays a lot of attention to you.
So. We've taught them well. I am proud of my response though. Was where can I find Penzance? And I said Penzance finds you.
That was funny.
Because yeah, that's how it goes.
It's anyway. Just the way Penzance is.
Yeah. Which maybe if that goes up to like if the tax increases, I think Penzance just to like warrant demand would be like $50 a tin. So when you find it, you don't buy all of it. Which is what apparently Hex does. I had a discussion with him about that. Anytime he sees it, no matter how many tins there are, he buys as many as they'll let him.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like the only time that I've come across Penzance available is when Hex and Tomchuk are talking.
Yeah,
when like, I'll just see it in like a random thread, and they'll talk about it, and then I'll go to that website, and they're like sold out, and I was like, it was you too.
Yeah, notice they never post, like they never make a post about it. They always do it in comments. they can say like, well, I did say it in the comments. Blatantly advertise it.
Yeah.
They're crafty.
Yeah, and I'm sure they comment, like, after they put in the order.
True.
Like, after the order just says, as many as you have on stock.
Anyway.
Anyways.
Anything else to say about prices?
Yeah, I was going to say one thing. Do you like to, you know, patronize your... Is that the word, patronize?
Yes.
All right. Do you like to patronize your B&M, or do you prefer the online service? Now, like, in my opinion, there's, like, you know, there's two sides of the argument. If you go to your B&M, you're supporting your local business, you're supporting the community, all this other stuff. But the other argument is that you get more bang for your buck with the online stores. I kind of fall like somewhere in the middle. I buy a lot of like my pipe tobacco accessories. Like if I lose a check tool or I need cleaners, I go there because it's just more convenient and the prices are about the same. But when it comes to tobacco prices, the online is just too cheap. The B&M blends just aren't good enough. Like they all cause a vicious amount of tongue bite. So I really feel like the online companies get my business just because of, you know, they seem to have a really good service. I mean, they seem to like genuinely care about their customers. And so I don't know. They win on selection and price in my book.
So Jelly and I went out this week, actually. We spent a lot of time driving around between some different B&Ms here in Houston. And we really found a pretty wide range in not only prices, but what was more important to us was the way the store treated us. Mm-hmm. And it ranged from, you know, one of the stores where it was very cigar centric and the people almost kind of look down their noses at you like, oh, just a, you know, stinky, you know, stinking pipe smoker kind of deal. I mean, it really felt uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
To the another store where it was kind of indifferent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, oh, you're a customer, great, and you know, nothing bad but nothing great.
Mm-hmm.
And then the another store we went into, the guy was super friendly, very knowledgeable. When I asked him questions about the different blends, he knew exactly what kind of tobacco they were, who manufactured them, where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
When I told him that my daughter was just starting, you know, he was actually explaining some of the stuff to her in terms of the tobacco and how they flavor it and stuff. So it was really, you know, that kind of stuff, that last example is, I think, what you miss shopping online.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my daughter and I decided, all right, so that's, you know, that is the store we're going to go to if we need to get anything locally.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I literally just bought two pipes online this week and a little bit of tobacco. So, but I did buy some tobacco at the B&M locally as well. So I try to support them both, but I can see definitely in the future for, you know, big prices, I definitely shop around.
Yeah.
You know, big products.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like my B&M has about a $10 increase on prices of pipes like versus online, which really isn't too bad. Like I consider that pretty fair since if you buy a pipe online, you're going to spend about $5 to $10 in shipping.
Right. I have a like kind of almost contradictory answer, which is that I like to go to my B&M, but I almost always go like buy stuff online. And it's because like my B&M, you know, once I agree with your thing about how sometimes they're standoffish, and it seems that B&Ms are this thing where you have to kind of prove yourself almost. Like right. You have to like show them that you actually know what you're talking about. I guess because they just get flooded with so much, you know, just not knowledgeable crap. You know, it's kind of like how we are on Reddit with newbies occasionally, where we're just like, you know, read the FAQ, come on. Yeah. And I guess they have a similar thing, but like when I go to my B&M, like the guy recognizes me and he's like, hey, you know, he sometimes remembers my name, sometimes doesn't. But you know, I enjoy talking about tobacco. I enjoy hearing his recommendations and like trading stories and stuff. I enjoy that experience. That being said, like there's just not a ton of variety at that store.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and the prices are slightly more expensive, and I don't mind paying, like you said, like $5 or $10 for stuff if it's fair, if I think it's fair. I don't mind that part. It's just like, you know, I go in, they have like this really small rack of tins, and there's maybe like 10 different tins. And they have, you know, the wall of, you know, bulk, but a lot of that's bad aromatics, and it's, you know, so I end up doing a lot of my shopping, especially for tobacco, online. But I really enjoy the, like, the experience of going to the B&M for the same reasons that Edge kind of cited. You know, it's good to talk about people and have them, you know, offer advice and stuff. But then, like Renho said, a lot like pipes and cigars is like so user friendly that I feel like if you emailed them and like, hey, I need a suggestion, they'd probably give you one.
Yeah,
that's who actually I bought my two pipes from. One was a brand new one, the other one was an estate, and I couldn't believe the service, the speed with which they took care of everything and handled everything. It was really my first experience with any kind of e-tailer, I guess, and it was definitely positive.
That's good. Yeah. I've told this story before, but I got one of my Pearsons from Pipes and Cigars because I emailed them about, hey, do you have any of these in stock? He's like, yeah, I got one left. It's blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, that's a little out of my price range. And he was like, well, what's in your price range? And I kind of told him what I was looking for, and he goes, okay, I can do that. And like, didn't even have to haggle. He like took off like $40. I was like, okay, cool, yeah, I'll do that. So like, I, you know, they're really, they will work with you, which I enjoy. Like, it wasn't a stock email by any means. Like, it was the guy's email. He checked it often. It was great. So
nice.
That's an awesome story.
I love that pipe so much. That's the green one in this picture, actually.
On the topic of buying different pipes and tobaccos, we want to know how our pipe tobacco, or just your involvement with the, you know, online or otherwise pipe tobacco community, has affected your stash. And by stash, we mean, the tobacco, your pipes, your accessories, your stands, whatever. We've been getting a few posts of those, which are really fun to see. Like, you know, 6 months ago, this was my stash, and here it is today. So how has it affected you guys?
So for me, it's affected it greatly. I've been smoking for nearly 25 years, but really it's for the past probably 12 to 15 years, it's really only been a couple times a month kind of thing. And recently I found our pipe tobacco, and I'd like to say it was a great thing. My bank account doesn't think so. But no, what it's really done is I've read a lot of pipe tobacco reviews and a lot of folks talking about different types of tobacco, and it's really forced me to kind of go out and get some samples or to try a lot of this stuff. And I found a lot of tobacco that I otherwise wouldn't have known about or wanted to try or thought to try. And so I've found that in the last month, I've probably quadrupled the amount of tobacco I have, if not more.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty standard, not response, but consequence. it's definitely encouraged me to try new stuff, mainly because I do write reviews, and so I really enjoy reviewing stuff. And so I guess doing that with our tobacco has really made me really enjoy that process. And I've even been asked to like review specific stuff before that I've like gone out and found for that purpose. So it really kind of, you know, going from having like five tens total to really, I mean, I actually, this summer I stopped buying tins because I realized how many I had to have yet to finish. Like, I probably should finish some of these before I buy new stuff, but yeah, my stash is probably easily quadrupled in size as well.
How about you, Jelly?
Well, I only started, I think, a week ago. Yes, a week ago. And I was borrowing pipes from my dad, and then finally he got me one. And I have my own bag. My favorite is Special Number One right now, and I plan on trying to make it bigger, build it bigger, with either still giving my dad the puppy eyes to help me out or working hard and buying more for myself.
So your stash has also increased from zero to
something. Zero to one, exactly.
We'll take credit for that.
Yeah, why not? Transitively. Yeah.
What pipe did you get for your first pipe?
It's an HIS. It's a quarter bent, right?
Yeah.
A quarter bent Dublin.
Oh, nice.
I really like Dublins.
Yeah, I almost bought. What color is it?
It's like tan.
It's like a unfinished. It looks like there's no stain added at all. So it's a very light color.
Yeah,
like that Italian kind of thing. I think a lot of Italian pipes.
Exactly, it is an Italian pipe.
Oh yeah, those are gorgeous. I love that finish.
My B&M has the HIS line as well that they stamp with their name. But so when I first went, I found like this quarter bent. It must have been like the same exact pipe almost. It's like a quarter bent. Dublin, like that same like really tan blonde like finish, and it was between that pipe and the pipe I ended up getting, and I ended up getting the pipe I got because the Dublin had like some kind of like flaw in it or whatever, like that it kind of looked like a crack, so I ended up not getting that. But yeah, no, that's beautiful. I've always wanted to get another one.
Yeah, that I don't know why Italy has like a monopoly on that finish style. But it's amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, Dublin I didn't initially like, but it grew on me.
Yeah, I love Dublins.
Yeah, the one of the pipes I just got, actually the brand new one I just got today is a Dublin. It's a Peterson, and then the other, I've got a couple of quarter bents and half bent Dublins that are generics and stuff I got years and years ago, but the first one I got was a GBD back in 1987 or 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, Sig gave us like a lecture for like 30 minutes on like the entire history of GDD pipes.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually really interesting, but I was like, how the heck do you know that? What line
from the guy in Texas?
Oh yeah.
That's
right.
He credits him with everything, his friend in Texas.
Edge, what Peterson line did you get?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let me, it's called, I will tell you here in just a second.
So, like, my magic, my, like, trick, like, my bar trick on our pipe tobacco is when people post pictures of their Petersons, I'm like, that's an Aaron finish, right? That's a Dada finish, right? And they're always like, yeah.
So, it says it's a silver MTD Army.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I know those. The Army, they're called, like, yeah, I think it's just called Army, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's like that almost that like dark brown with like, I'm trying to describe the finish. It's like a darker brown with like light mixed in. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And yep. Then it's got the sterling silver band with the crazy weird numbering system on it that's like symbols.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, those are cool.
So Doc, how many hours did you have to spend looking at Peterson's?
I haven't been logging it, but you know, Pipes of the Guard makes it easy because there's pictures, like, on one page.
Yeah.
So
you've got, basically an associate's degree in identifying Petersons.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Petersons to be like, you want to be a salesman? Yes. I would love free stuff from you. That'd be great.
Yo, wow, wouldn't that be a dream job?
Yeah, I love Turner J5. He's just like, yeah, I took this from blah, blah, blah. Like, he just takes stuff all the time. He works for Savinelli, by the way. I don't know. Not everyone knows that. Anyway. Yeah, I also think that I deserve a royalty check because I think I've, like, made everyone on the subreddit try Irish Oak.
Yeah, no. I actually almost bought it. I went to my B&M to buy it, and then I found out the price.
I got Jax recently. He sent me a message. He finally tried it while he was in Portland.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. So I think I deserve, a couple dollars here and there.
Or at least a free tin here and there.
Yeah, that'd be even better. Anyway, that's enough of my Peterson fanboyness. What is next?
So, Edge, take the floor. You got this review. You can do it.
All right.
The mythical
thing. The tobacco I'm reviewing today is actually a brand that I found at the local B&M, and they call it Honey Clover. So I asked the proprietor, the tobacconist, I said, so is this, a house blend or is this something you guys get from somewhere else? He says, well, it comes from Lane, which is a really big tobacco company in the United States. And it's one of their blends. And I really liked it. I mean, it's like a lot of Lane stuff. I guess it's lightly aromatic. But what I was really expecting, like a lot of people get when you get an aromatic from a store, especially if they're just in one of the big jars, a lot of times the jars are kind of, they've been there a while. It looks like the tobacco's really sad. If tobacco could feel emotion.
I know exactly what you're describing.
It's like, why have I been in this jar for the last 17 years? Smoke me. But this stuff looked pretty fresh. I asked him how long it's been there. He said, not too long, that they end up replacing it quite often. And it looked fresh. It smelled great. They call it honey clover because, quite frankly, it has the smell of honey and the clover flower. So it's a little sweet. The leaf, it just looks like, and I'm not the expert here, what I would consider to be just a standard, like, ribbon cut type tobacco. I mean, it's not a flake. It doesn't look like it came from anything that you have to, break apart or anything. It's pretty loose. But to me, I tried it right there in the store, and I was immediately taken by the fact that there was no bite, which I was a little incredulous. I actually thought maybe there was something wrong with my tongue. So I had my daughter try some in the store there with me, and she found the same thing, that there was no bite at all. It was just a very smooth, really delicate flavor. It's definitely, again, you can taste the sweetness, but it's not like a plum cake, which, my daughter is sitting here shaking her head violently. Plum cake, like, assaults your tongue with, like, all this flavor. It's like the most, I don't know, very rarely have I had an aromatic type tobacco that is so sweet that you really think that there's something solid coming out of your pipe, like plum cake. But this stuff was just super smooth. Really soft. I would say that this would be a pipe tobacco that you could smoke with people who generally don't like pipe tobacco or don't like smoke, because it's very pleasant. My son and his friend who were there at the time when my daughter and I were trying this, they both commented on the fact that it smelled really nice. So I guess that would be the room note. But in terms of this blend, if I'm not mistaken, Doc, you said that you couldn't find this on which site?
On Tobacco Reviews. I can't find it anywhere, actually.
So I'm hoping that the guy at the B&M was telling me exactly where it came from. He said it was Lane.
Well, you want to know what my guess is about what happened? Is a lot of times B&Ms will rename things. So for instance, like 1Q, at Tinderboxes, they call it Wilshire. So it's very possible that it is Lane's. It's just they rebranded it to something. And so then we don't know what it is.
That would make sense, because I've seen on one of the websites, I was looking at all the different Lane tobaccos trying to find this one in bulk. And there was like a bunch of number codes and letter codes, and
yeah,
it didn't seem to make sense to me.
Yeah. I'm trying to, I'm looking at like the list of lame tobaccos, and there's like absolutely no way to guess by name what would be considered honey clover. Because I was going to try that, but
I may just order like, you know, an ounce or two of everything and just see which one it is. But
that's one way. We could also call the tobacconist and ask which number it is.
True.
That, yeah.
There's one just called like Golden Honey that sounds very similar to what you're talking about, but it's highly aromatic, a quality blend of gold and black Cavendish with the finest honey extracts.
Well, and this one, the color of this one is completely dark, which is the other thing that really threw me off. Really? I was expecting it to be really sticky sweet, and it just isn't.
So it's probably a lot of black Cavendish. That's interesting that it didn't come across as heavy.
Right.
This really is like a mythical tobacco. I'm really intrigued by this stuff.
I should send you some. I've got another one called Night Train, and it looks exactly the same, but it smells completely different. It's a lot thicker. That is what I expected, which was that really thick kind of really sickly sweet kind of smoke, but it really wasn't. It's just very smooth and light and soft and everything that to me a pipe tobacco should be, you know, not smacking you around.
Cool. So how does it burn? Does it burn wet?
It did a little bit. It required me to work it a bit. If I let it go for maybe anything more than, you know, 3-4 minutes, it would go out.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a little wet, but I didn't have any liquid buildup or anything at the bottom, and I was actually able to get to the bottom of the bowl. It was I think I probably filled it 3/4 full, and it was just what I would consider standard size, maybe, you know, 7/8 of an inch by maybe, you know, 3/4 of an inch or so. And I got it all the way down to the bottom, and it was, you know, when I tipped it out, it was all ash. So it burned even. It burned nice.
Huh.
I just had to relight it a few times.
That's good. I always worry with, like, the black Cavendish that's in a coarse cut for me always tends to burn really wet. So, like, you get a gurgle, and then you run the risk of doing the thing where you look up and, it like, the liquid runs in your mouth, which is awful.
Yeah.
But it's good to hear that Lane is really good, I think. The Lanes I've tried, they're really good about, you know, it's a fine line to avoid making a bad, like, hot, wet aromatic, and they always skirt it really well.
Right. Well, this one definitely, you know, for me, you know, my daughter and I are fans of this one. It's really good. I will definitely get it again. And next time I go there, I'll try to find out and follow up and see if he can tell me which Lane blend it is.
Mm. Do you smoke a lot of aromatics?
So I would say no, but then again, there's like, I have, you know, I've got one cue. The one that I used to like, which now that I've been smoking more and more, I'm finding I like less. It has a bite, and I'm getting used to a lot of the tobaccos that just don't have a bite.
Right.
Yeah. My grandfather smoked the English type tobaccos, so I grew up with that smell around me, and so whenever I smoke something like Nightcap or here they have these things, I guess Friar Tuck or Sherlock or any of that kind of stuff, that really reminds me of my weekends with my grandfather and my great uncle and stuff, and it's good, but I think I'm a bigger fan of the lighter smokes. I don't think it's a aromatic, but I think it's mostly just Virginia and
might be Virginia Burley. Those Cavendish come off as aromatics.
I'm sorry?
Oh, Cavendish, yeah. Sorry, I was gonna say Burley sometimes almost seem like aromatics.
Right.
Yeah, I think the reason why Burleys usually seem like aromatics are just Burleys or Cavendish scented. And so you get kind of like that natural like taste association between the two. And then you just kind of feel like, oh, this Burley's an aromatic when it's
not. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, speaking of the aromatics that are scented, though, there was another one there. And I don't know if this is allowed in the rules to talk about another tobacco like this. But the other lane that they had there was that cherry. I think they call it like Very Cherry or something like that.
Oh, yes. Rinholder is a big fan of Very Cherries.
Wow. I reviewed that one, actually.
Did you?
I did. Did you try it?
I didn't actually try it. I only smelled it. To me, it smelled like one of those, you know, in your car, you get those little trees.
Uh-huh.
It smelled like the car air freshener.
Yeah. Yep. That's what it smoked like too. So I got that as a sample in a trade. And I have to say, of the, what was it, two or three cherry blends, that one was the best. But it was so cherry. I mean,
right.
Like I think in the comments I said it was as if they dropped a giant cherry onto like other flavors, and the other flavors were screaming from beneath it, and I could hear their muffled screams, and I attempted to save them, but the cherry was just too massive to move.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're a cherry fan, you know, get it, because it's not just like I think I said this, like it's not just like a crap aromatic where it's like oily and nasty. Like it smells like cherry, it tastes like cherry. But like you, it's very cherry. Like that's all.
that name is very serious.
Yeah. No, they didn't beat around the bush. They like the only better name they could have is like Very Fucking Cherry.
Well, I'll definitely have to try it out just for the novelty factor, because I haven't been a huge fan of like flavored tobaccos that are, you know, like cherries or anything like that. But I know they smell good.
Mm-hmm.
I like eating cherries, so.
Well, I can send you what remains of mine, because I'm not going to use it.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm sure my daughter would. She's sitting here nodding her head.
Right. Hey, look, she managed to get free tobacco again.
You can't even see the eyes, yeah.
Wow.
You also have to understand, like, the reason this is so funny to us is because Rinholder and I, like, really enjoy complexity in our blends. And so the fact that he got stuck with this thing that literally only tastes like cherry is just hilarious for me, because I know exactly what he's thinking.
Yeah, no, he actually, he did a Dr. Science. Hopefully we can link to it. He did, like, this little, like, thread that was, like, my thoughts, like, as I reviewed it. And it was so spot on. I have never... Not even during Frosty's trifecta have I ever laughed so hard from the internet. Like it was so fun. It was so spot on. It was just perfect.
Not that I'm dissing aromatics.
Yeah, no, we're not dissing aromatics. It's like, honestly, I'm glad we have like a person reviewing an aromatic, because sometimes I feel like the aromatic section gets left out.
Yeah, I feel bad whenever I review aromatics, because unless they're like literally cream of the crop, I'm always like, these are crap. Like what you're describing, that sounds like something I would really enjoy. But yeah, there are some that like other people really like them. Like, no, this is awful. Yeah. It tastes like cherry. Yeah. You know? Like,
well,
so that's been my greatest challenge over the last 25 years, I think, is because while, you know, like I said earlier, I'd smoke some of, you know, the stuff that my grandfather left me, which was, I'm guessing, probably 30-year-old tobacco. But, you know, again, the more English stuff, I enjoy it, but I really like the milder stuff. And so now is that the mild stuff, is that considered aromatic, or does it have to be?
It has to have a casein or some kind of flavoring added to it.
Okay.
To be like, aromatic.
Just like light Virginias. Like that's what I actually am really into right now. I started off really liking English, but I've merged into Virginias.
Right.
And so that's considered its own category.
See, because I'm a big fan of the Virginias too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to really get into Virginias.
Because there's a lot of diversity there, which I really enjoy to explore.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I'd say Virginias are, the nice thing about Virginias is that they have like that subtlety to them. So it's like, it's complex. They're not all hardcore. And they have like those subtle little notes that you can like try and, you know, dig out, which are fun. It's fun for me.
It's like a treasure hunt.
Yeah. It's an Easter egg hunt.
Oh, gosh.
What do you call
it? I'm waiting to get an Easter egg while we're recording this.
Yeah, my dad actually likes aromatics. And I think, like, can't remember. He was telling me about, like, the cigars he liked. And I think it's, like, like maybe perhaps as you like get older, you're like, screw this strong shit. I want something that I can just sit back, relax, and enjoy. So, I don't know.
There's a time and place for everything too.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's not fair to like box out a whole category just because you had one or two bad experiences.
So. That's true. That's true.
Thank you for that review, though. It's been a while since we reviewed an aromatic on here for the reasons we just cited, so it's good to have some diversity.
Sure.
Okay, so next is the beginner experience.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Renhold, do you want to do that one?
All right, so a recent idea has been proposed, which I support, and I believe many others support as well, and that is a new pipe smoker and experienced pipe smoker, some kind of pairing. So the essential idea about this is older pipe smokers already have like an established, you know, seller. Like they have a lot of blends. They don't really need like diversity, but they're still like hunting down like, you know, random tins here and there because whatever they're like, you know, it's become a recent hot topic or like something like that. So they're not really going for like a shotgun effect. They're going for like more precise targets. While newcomers are still trying to figure out like what it is that like gets them like excited. Like I know when I first started, I was like, what do I even like? There's so many options. Where do I go? And it took a while. It took, you know, months to figure out like, what do I, you know, what kind of blends do I like? Because I just had to try so many different ones and I had to make sure that I was getting like a good representation from like each category, which is pretty hard to do when you don't know what the hell you're doing. So an idea has been proposed, and I think Tom Check proposes, and the original idea comes from Puff.com.
That sounds right.
All right. So it's something along those lines. Want to give credit where credit's due. And we're going to try and implement this. So the basic idea of this is someone with an established seller, we'll call them an experienced pipe smoker, or EPS for short. They will essentially gather up, you know, different samplings of tobacco. Like, you know, maybe if they were a cigar smoker, they'll try and like tailor, you know, like different blends like to their liking or something. Like they're trying to use their knowledge to hone in on what the new person likes by sending them like kind of like a shotgun style, like a bunch of different things and all kinds of different varieties. And the new pipe smoker, the NPS, will buy a tin of, you know, or two or whatever you guys agree on, depending on like the amount that's being traded, will buy those tins as requested by the experienced pipe smoker. So it really works out because if all you want to do is order like 1 ounce of each tobacco, you're buying it at about the highest price that you can because you're not buying it bulk. And, you know, so you're not getting that discount. So it's kind of like it's harder to like save your money when you're trying to sample. And so we want to pair these guys. And the other outcome that I'm hoping for is that we get to a system where like, you know, NPSs can just, you know, send like a quick question to an EPS like, hey, you know, this blend's not staying lit. What should I do? Because you can ask the community and the community like doesn't always give you like one solid answer. You know, it's a lot of different things. So, you know, maybe having that one-on-one will like help build like the community and also help with like the dispersion of information like through, since the community is only getting bigger and most of the new people. Yeah, we're bringing in a lot of new people and I think they're getting like turned over into, you know, experienced people fairly rapidly based on what I've seen. So I'm happy about this.
Yeah.
But hopefully this will, you know, like add a new dimension. So,
yeah. So the original idea was to kind of almost, imitate the pipe smoking mentor that we've mentioned in the past. Where, you know, if you can go down, if you know someone that gets you into it, or if you go down to the B&M, you know, you have a guy that knows what he's talking about that can kind of guide you. And over the internet, you kind of lack that. And so the idea here is that there's someone who, like Renaud said, like you can ask for, hey, you know, I really like this one, but not so much this one. What would you suggest? And, you know, possibly trade with again.
Yeah. And you guys can do trades whenever that once you're paired up, you can, you know, do it as frequently as you like. We still have to hammer out new pairings, like if we end up rotating NPS and EPSs, or if they end up staying like, you know, kind of together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is for
palette building. Yep. But we're going to try and offer it in conjunction with the regular trade. So, you know, if you don't really want to participate in that, you can still do sign up for just the regular trade. And I think probably, I guess you could do both. I don't see why you couldn't do both.
Yeah, I don't see on it.
So we're going to try it out this month and see how it goes. And if there's not enough people doing it, or if it just doesn't work for whatever reason, we'll ditch it. But I've got pretty high hopes for it.
Mm-hmm. And while we are on the subject of experienced pipe smokers and new pipe smokers, we have two with us. So why don't you guys talk about, like, you know, from both perspectives, you know, what it's been like?
Well, I'm the new pipe smoker, and I just started a week ago, and my dad, he went out and he's like, well, I'm gonna go smoke a pipe, come outside and talk with me. So we go outside, and he's packing his pipe, and I put my hand down. I said, okay, give me the pipe. I said, wait, what? I'm like, yeah, let's make this something. And so he goes inside, he gets his own pipe, and now we're trying to make it something where every night we go outside and we have a conversation. And I like smoking a pipe because it's very relaxing. Plus, I can think a lot when I'm smoking with my dad outside. And I'm already starting to figure out different preferences on the different tobaccos that I've been smoking. When I'm smelling them, I like it to have kind of a strong smell, not too sweet. And then I don't like to have much of a bite. Like we talked about earlier with plum cake, it smells really sweet and it tastes really sweet, but then the bite, it just gets you like right afterwards. And you're just like, oh my gosh, no more. But, and then there's a vanilla one that I really like. I don't know the exact name of it, but it's really pleasant. I really, really like it. And I mean, it has a little bite, but it's enough to deal with it. And I mean, everything that my dad and I have been doing, we're getting me started to identify different kinds of tobaccos, how it's made and all the other stuff. My dad actually just got me a lighter, a Zippo lighter, and it's so pretty. It's brass with red.
Nice.
And it's a pipe lighter, because I was using one of his and he's like, no, you're not going to use that lighter anymore. We're going to get you a proper lighter so and everything will work just fine. But I mean, that's so far how the pipe smoking has been going for me.
Cool. My dad buys me Zippos too.
I really like that you guys already have this tradition, because that's one of the things that really got me into pipe smoking early on, was like going on the roof of the building with my friends and having like these deep discussions.
Yeah, that's awesome. I used to, my dad worked from home for just a couple months, and we used to sit on the patio. Like, he'd have lunch and I'd usually have like a break from school at the same time. And so we'd sit, have lunch, smoke a pipe. And it was awesome. It was bonding. He is now on the other side of the world for work. So it was at least nice that, like, when he left, I was like, all right, you know, I've spent some quality time with him. So.
Oh, yeah. So for me, it's kind of interesting. My dad smoked a pipe, but he stopped smoking pipe probably when I was about 4 or 5. And, you know, being that he was in construction, he went to cigarettes because it was just much easier. And so I never really learned from anyone in my family, even though I had my grandfather, great uncle, all these folks around me who still smoked. When I joined the Marines and I was learning on my own in California, there was a old gentleman who owned a B&M there in El Toro, California. And he literally took me under his wing. I would go in there. He would teach me how to pack the bowl properly. He would, when I bought a new pipe, which I found out years later that he was heavily subsidizing the prices of the pipes for me. I must have been gullible, because I would see prices on the pipes and I would say, wow, those are really expensive. And he'd say, oh, no, those are just recommended retail prices. You know, I'll tell you the real prices. And, you know, I got like my Peterson, I think I got it for maybe $40. I got my GBD for maybe $25. I mean, he was selling me this stuff really super cheap.
Yeah, like, that's like almost that cost probably for them.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, but, you know, with tobacco, you know, we would sit there and he would talk about his, he was also a former military guy. We talk about his experiences. And, but while we're talking, you know, he'd notice me doing something or holding the pipe a certain way. He'd say, well, you know, I noticed you're not holding it, you know, at the bottom. Is it getting really hot? And I would say, yeah, it's a bit hot. And he would tell me things like, well, you know, smoking a pipe is kind of like an engine. If it's getting hot, you know, you might want to let it cool a bit, let it, you know, don't smoke it so hard. It's not a race. And, you know, just those little things that he would throw out to me are the kind of things that I find myself now telling my daughter and passing on to her, the same type of stuff. I also find that I'm also subsidizing her pipe smoking. But it's really, really neat. She asks a lot of questions. She wants to do it right. She's not smoking it because, you know, she wants to be, you know, have any kind of image or anything. She just really enjoys the tobacco. And I think it's because she gets to spend some time with her dad. I don't know.
That's what we're going to go with. Regardless of whether or not it's true.
But it's one of the neat aspects. And I'm really, really happy to see that our pipe tobacco is getting behind an effort like this. It's really neat to pass on a tradition like pipe smoking because it really is an art that I think has almost been lost. I mean, mm-hmm. How prevalent it used to be up until, you know, maybe the 70s. And then for the last 30 years or so, it's like, you know, been in the cellar. And it's been very rare. I can count on one hand the number of pipe smokers I've seen out and about in the last 10 years. You know, it's just been really, really rare up until maybe the last year or so.
Yeah.
So it's good to see it coming back. And it's really, really neat to have a system in place where the folks who've been doing it a while have an opportunity to pass that on to the folks that are looking for, you know, for help or assistance or just some input or ideas.
Absolutely.
So I agree. I have a question for you. My question is, was it a spontaneous decision for you to start smoking, or was it like a gradual thing and then you found like an in?
For me or
Jelly. For Jelly, sorry.
Okay.
Well, he started smoking again and I would go outside and just talk with him while he smokes. And I asked him, you know, what made you start to smoke again? Because he used to do it a lot when I was little. And I remember that. And he's like, well, I've been Redditing a lot. And I'm like, oh, well, that's cool. And so, I mean, each day I would go out with him each night. And then finally, I was like, you know, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see how this goes. And I ended up really liking it.
I think it's interesting how that happens. Like, there's very few spontaneous things. Like, all the people I've talked to, and this is true for myself, too. It's like this thing you kind of think about for a while, and you're like, yeah, that'd be kind of neat. I'm going to try it. It's kind of weird how that happens for me. At least I find that kind of interesting.
Yeah. Like things are kind of like you think about it for a while and then you just spontaneously decide to move into action.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what usually happens.
It's just like an intriguing concept or something, I guess.
Yeah.
What I thought was really funny when I started smoking outside with him, he looked at me, he started laughing. I was like, what's so funny? He's like, I didn't even show you how to hold the pipe or how to place it in your mouth and you do it exactly the way I do it.
That's funny.
I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I sit here and I look at you, and so I'm just going to take notes.
That's so funny. My mom has a picture of my dad and I. We were smoking, like, one lunch, and she thought it was, like, cute or whatever. So she, like, took a picture, and I swear to God, in the picture, we have the same look. We're sitting the same way, and we have the pipe the same way in our mouth, like, holding it, like just barely holding it but still clenching it. And I just looked at the picture, and I was like, God damn, we are father and son.
Yeah, nice.
That's really cool. I always notice when I'm like with a group of people, I like looking at how different people hold their pipe differently. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting because like I tend to like kind of gently clench mine, but other people have like a harder clench, and you know, some people take it in and out a lot. It's just really interesting to watch. It's kind of neat that you guys have already like bonded in just in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the pipes I got I inherited from my grandfather, one of his Savinellis. I think he used to clench so hard that on the bottom of the bit, there's a hole where one of his teeth, I think, was biting into it.
Jeez.
And wow. I I actually had an older pipe of mine where I bit it through pretty much the same spot at one point. And that's what made me kind of reevaluate how hard I was biting down on the pipes. But yeah, that's something I found, you know, 30 years later.
You should get those rubber clinch bit things.
Yes, I recently saw those, and I was trying to figure out whether or not I really want to put those on the pipes or if I want to just ease up a bit on the jaw.
You know what I heard was crazy? I went to my B&M, and I was talking to him, and I asked about the rubber pipe bits because that's an accessory. Figured might as well buy it from them, and he was out. And, you know, he was talking about, like, guys that really use them. And I was like, well, how frequently do people, like, you know, burn through them? And he's like, most people, it'll last them, like, quite a while, like, over a month. And he's like, but I got a couple guys. And he was like, I shit you not, they'll chew through an acrylic bit in a matter of, like, just a couple months. And he said they'll go through the rubber bits, like, after only one or two smokes.
Wait. Acrylic? Not Vulk? Acrylic?
Acrylic.
Holy hell.
Yeah, which is, like, the hardest. And he said, like, they just smoke all day, and they just grind. He's like, when they're in the shop, you can see them grinding on the stem, and they just do that constantly.
I can't even cringe acrylic because it hurts my teeth. It's so freaking hard.
Yeah, it's ridiculously hard.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
So, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think he sells the spare acrylic military bits, so...
Well, if he didn't, he does now, because that's going to make him a killer.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Bad pipe habit number 47. Chewing through acrylic bits. That's just... The dentists are cringing.
Yeah, no, I know. They're not going to have any teeth left.
No. Goodness. Well, I'm glad that you got started off in such a, like... It's really cool that you already have a... Like, you have a teacher from the get-go, which is really neat.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed trying to figure stuff out on my own, but also there are times where I was like, I'm really happy I had someone to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is definitely a big plus.
Yeah. Yeah, most def.
Oh! Yeah.
All right. So, this week, for the pipe tobacco giveaway, we are giving away Larry's Blend again. We'll give it away for this entire 4-week period. We had a really big interactive Easter egg hunt, and so we're actually going to do something that's like a little bit, you know, easier this time. Well, actually, it's really easy in comparison. So we're going to try and vary like all the activities that way. It's not just like, you know, busy things every week or, you know, whatever. So this week is a simple one. All you have to do is register for it. Put your name down on, we'll have a comment section, and you'll just reply like yes or something like that. And we will take all the names, we will put them into a list, assign each one a number, and then using a random number generator, we will pick a number, and that will be the winner of Larry's Blend this week.
Hooray!
Hooray! So it's really easy. This one is just, this is literally just a giveaway. So this is one of the ones that we like try and balance things off, because literally anybody can win this.
You know, what I think I might do, instead of a random number generator, is I might just ask someone, hey, give me a random number between blah and blah.
Yeah, you can do that. I like random number generator, because there's no like preferred. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think a person would actually like try to tend to pick near the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. They like, they'll have like, yeah. So
yeah. Good call.
Yep. Actually, I had to use one of those today.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, who's outside?
Who's what?
Your crickets.
That's me.
Wow, your microphone's really good.
Is it picking up those damn crickets?
Just barely.
Yeah, we can hear it here too.
Cricket, shut up.
I'm doing a podcast. I was like, wait, is that a cricket?
Funny. Oh. Anyway. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so for those of you who enjoyed the Easter egg hunt, thanks for participating. For those of you who didn't, thank you for not complaining about it. Sign up for the random drawing.
Yeah,
we've got two more to reveal, and we're kind of keeping it secret. So.
Yeah, the other two involve a bit more planning. So we need time to just get all of our ducks in a row. We don't want to rush anything. You know, since this is the first time we're doing each one, after this, it's going to be really easy to do similar versions every month. So.
Yep. Check. Make sure you drop by the IRC. We don't have a Skype and Pipe scheduled. We need to get them to schedule one.
Yeah.
As of the recording of this podcast, at least. So we'll see how that goes. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please rate us.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again to everyone who, you know, for listening. We got great numbers again this month. So, I really do appreciate it. And we really appreciate your guys' involvement and everything. So.
Oh, and one more thing. We had the contest end this week. We had the pipe restoration contest.
Which, Rinholder, didn't you win one of those?
Yeah, so there was three slots, and Cygnus won, I won, and Cautiously Attained won. And we thank you, OWK, mm-hmm. for holding that contest.
Yes. If you want to hold a contest, just let us know. You can make whatever. We really don't have any rules. We have one, not really. It's not a rule as much as it's like secret information for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can have a contest for whatever you want anytime. So just let us know.
Yeah, and they're no longer based on. This is basically the one rule: is they're no longer based on solely upvotes. They're based on points.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you also have to put end date as well. It can be whatever time frame you want. Typically, they've been a week, but you can do whatever you want.
Indeed.
Yep.
So, congratulations to whoever the new Piper of the Fortnite is, because that'll be revealed today. And thank you to Edge and Jelly for joining us. Hope you guys had a good time.
Yeah, thanks
very much for having us.
This is a little bit of an unusual episode, because we wanted to, like, you know, have you guys talk about your experience a little bit more, so there's less, like, topics, but
yeah,
it was really interesting to hear from both of you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And it was actually perfect timing as well for the, what do you call it? NPS EPS.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's completely coincidental.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have...
My daughter's cracking up over here with crickets.
Are they that loud?
They're getting louder after we just said something about it.
I think they heard us mention them, their name.
Knock it off, guys.
I do have one last announcement I forgot about. Thank you guys for, again, directing new people to read the FAQ, but still being nice and answering questions. Really appreciate it. I did make that rule about no questions asking for general advice. So if you see a post about that, message the mod. I think I've only had I've had one or two that, you know, and I just send them a quick message, and they usually end up asking a more direct question. But just let us know, just in case I didn't see it. Because sometimes I don't, you know, some days I read more in depth than others. So just, you know, be on the lookout, let us know. But continue to do, you guys have been great with still being polite and nice, and still directing towards the FAQ. So I really appreciate it. All right. So thanks again to Edge and Jelly. Thank you again for listening. I'm Dr. Science.
I'm Edge.
I'm Jelly.
And I am Rinholder. Thanks, guys. May
your pipes be forever held high. Hi, welcome back to TWIP for episode 11. I'm Dr. Science. Is that you?
Me?
Yeah, now you say I am.
I'm sorry. I thought Ren was going to go next.
Everyone does.
All right, I'm sorry. All right, go
it's
ahead.
Okay, can literally everyone.
Yeah. All right. All right, so now you just have to say it. We'll just cut out that gap.
Oh, okay, you're going to cut out the gap. Okay. Hello, I'm Edge.
And I'm Jelly.
And I am Renholder.
And